Amen. If you would, in your Bibles tonight, turn to the book of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. Getting down to the end of course, our study in the book of Ephesians, and Paul is kind of wrapping it all up. Again, just as we preach Wednesday night on the book of Ephesians, and just encouraging us about what we have in the Lord Jesus Christ, all the tools we need to live out the Christian life, our inheritance that we have in Christ, and the first three chapters, the last three chapters dealing with our walk, the practicality of living out the Christian life, walking circumspectly, walking worthy of the vocation where we've been called, walking in the light, and living out that Christian life. In order to live out the Christian life, in order to walk circumspectly, in order to walk in the light, we must put on the whole armor of God. Satan absolutely does not want us to live a life that's pleasing to the Lord. And he's going to do everything he can to attack us, to discourage us, and everything he can, throw every dart he has to get us down and get us discouraged and so forth, right? So we've got to put on the whole armor of God. Look at verse 10, Ephesians chapter 6. Finally, my brethren. So in conclusion, here's where we're at. Be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. Again, it's something we must understand that we cannot do it on our own. We have to do it in the power and strength of the Lord Jesus Christ. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil, the trickery, the deceitfulness of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Again, we are in a wrestling match. Our enemy is not people. Our enemy is Satan. Enemy is Satan. Satan uses people, but they are not the enemy. Satan is the enemy. Again, remind you, we are not in an ordinary battle. This is a spiritual battle. And we must remember who our enemy is. Again, our enemy is Satan. Wherefore, verse 13, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. You don't know when that particular day will be, when you'll be tested and tried and so forth. You need to be ready. And the only way you can be ready is to put on the whole armor of God every day. Every day. Look at verse 14. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you again for your love and grace and mercy you bestowed upon us. We thank you for the opportunity to meet together in your house, to gather around the Word of God. And Lord, we do pray that you would help us to fight the battle in your power and in your might. Help us, Lord, to put on the whole armor of God. And God, that we may be able to withstand in the evil day. In Jesus' name, amen. We have last Sunday night, we went over the first two pieces of the armor. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. And we must wear the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. Again, the belt of truth, this girdle of truth, is there to protect the lower parts of the body. It's there to, which that belt was, to hang on, to hang the other parts of the armor that hang down on the lower parts of the body. It was again there to defend. We must, as Christians, be truthful in everything we do. We must remember that thy word is truth. The word of God is truth from beginning to end. Amen? O Lord, forever thy word is settled in heaven. It's truth. Truth without error. And we must hold on to that truth. And we as Christians must be truthful. Secondly, we talked about the breastplate of righteousness and righteousness. That is, again, that breastplate is to protect the heart and other vital organs. If our conscience is clean between God and man, the devil has no place to shoot. We talked about last Sunday night how that if you are righteous before God, then it gives you authority. It gives you confidence because you have a clean heart. Amen? And when you're fighting, you don't have that doubt in the back of your mind saying, well, this is, you know, I'm having this sin in my life or that sin in my life. It's clean. If we fall instead of stand, it's because we have not been living right. Again, confess your sins, lest the devil tempt you. Confess your sins, lest the devil tempt you. Put on the belt of truth. Sincerity, truthfulness. Again, that sincerity and truthfulness is subject to the Word of God, because the Word of God is truth. Remember that now. Just because you pick up a book, a science book or anything, does not mean that everything in that book is truth. It's the Word of God that is truth. And all of, we can be sincere, but we can be sincerely wrong. And so we must understand that truth is found in the Word of God, and we must subject everything to the Word of God as far as truth is concerned, and put on that belt of truth. We must put on the breastplate of righteousness in order to protect our heart. Our heart is deceitfully wicked above all things, the Bible says. We must protect our heart and keep a clean heart before God in order that the devil would not have anything to shoot at. And then this evening we'll talk about the preparation of the gospel of peace. The preparation of the gospel of peace. And your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. We need to put on the shoes of the gospel. The shoes of the gospel. I wish every member of Heritage Baptist Church was here tonight to hear this and be reminded that we are to be soul winners. Hello. Amen. Say, preacher, here we go again. Absolutely. Matthew 28, 18 through 20. We have our commission to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Teaching all nations, amen, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world. Our commission, our command from our general, our Lord demands that we go into all the world and preach the gospel. Every creature. I enjoyed the conference we had a couple weeks ago, amen. Brother Weedle did a fine job preaching. Again, it's always great to be reminded of our marching orders. By the way, as a church, it's good to be reminded of our purpose, because it's our purpose that unifies us. Again, the church is a unique organism in that we are made up of various peoples and various temperaments, various personalities, and how in the world we can sit in here on Sunday morning without tearing each other up is a miracle, right? Amen? You've seen how people act at work, haven't you? You know, their little groups and this and fighting against that one, and you know, there's all sorts of things going on. The church is a family. Amen? We're a family. And we unite behind a purpose. And that purpose is to spread the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. As long as we keep our eyes on the Lord and keep our eyes on the purpose, then everyone will line up together. It's when we get our eyes off our purpose that we begin to look at each other's warts and hang-ups and quirks and all those things. Keep our eyes on the prize. Amen? Jesus Christ, winning others to the Lord, baptizing them and discipling them. That is our purpose, to win people to Jesus Christ, to baptize them, and then to disciple them. And we disciple them in various ways. But we should put on the shoes of the Gospels. The shoes must be put on. It talks about the preparation. There must be preparation made. And in other words, if we are to be soul winners, we must master the craft of soul winning. And that takes time. You can't just, you know, learn something just overnight. It's something that you must be taught, and then therefore you must, with time, learn. It is, again, a command and not a choice. Soul winning is not a gift. Hello? Well, preacher, I don't have the gift of talking to people or whatever the case. No, it don't matter. The Bible says it's not a choice, it's a command. Every Christian should be a soul winner. Every member is a minister. Every member should be a soul winner. Every person. At work, at home, to your neighbor, during our Tuesday nights and Saturday mornings, we must be soul winners. The church must be about the business of winning people to Jesus Christ. As we think about this preparation of the gospel of peace, preparation, preparing, the Roman soldiers wore boots with nails in them to grip the ground in combat. We think of these as, you know, track shoes, where they have the spikes in them, or hiking boots, or so forth. And we must understand that we must prepare for the battle, prepare to spread the gospel. Put on our running shoes, put on our track shoes. I enjoyed track as long as I didn't have to run past 100 yards. And I ran the 400 meter relay, and I was the guy who came out of the blocks. You wouldn't think about that about me now, would you? But I used to be fast. Not anymore. My son beat me the other day in a 20-yard dash. I'm still, you know, I keep bringing it back. just as far as I can, right? Now it's going to be 10. I think I can beat him in 10 yards. But I remember coming out of those blocks, had those spiky shoes on. And boy, you know, preparing for the race, preparing for the battle. We must be prepared to spread the gospel of peace. I want to remind you again, we must first stand firm in the gospel. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Hello? For it is the power of God and salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, also the Greek. I am not ashamed of the gospel. We stand in the gospel. We stand firm on the gospel. What is the gospel? The gospel is the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. It's the life, death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. We've mentioned it many times. What are the five essential aspects of the gospel? The five essential aspects are that Christ was God. Amen? He was man. Right? He was sinless. He died and was buried, and He rose again. So when you are giving the gospel out, those are the five essentials that you should talk to somebody when you're talking to them about the gospels. Amen. You include the five essentials. Teachers and workers, when you are leading a child to Christ, include the five essentials. Help them to understand. Teach them. Now, again, let me rephrase that. We are the teachers. The Holy Spirit gives understanding. We simply give out the information, and the Holy Spirit enlightens them to understand. Again, we're soul winners, but we don't give understanding. That's why you're not responsible if a soul doesn't get saved, though you have taught them the gospel. Right? The Holy Spirit's responsible. Amen. So we are not the Holy Spirit. The gospel brought peace between God and man. We must stand firmly and rest firmly with confidence in the gospel, the finished work of Jesus Christ. It is the gospel that brings calm in the midst of storms of life. Amen. It is the gospel. It's our salvation. It's the Holy Spirit that brings just confidence and calm and peace in the storms of life. I don't know what I would do if I was not saved. The things I have faced in life. I don't know what I would do in those storms of life without Jesus Christ as my Savior. I don't know what people do. I really don't. I've said this before, but to me, life would be very monotonous if it were not for Jesus in my life. Get up in the morning, go to work, come home. Get up in the morning, go to work, come home. No purpose. Right? Only looking forward to the weekend so I can party or drink or whatever the case is. Or even fishing. If fishing was my life and that was my aim, you know, and I only got rest when it's fishing time, then what kind of life would that be? It's kind of like the people who use vacation. Let me say this very nicely. Yeah, some people, some individuals, even Christians now, we use vacations as a time to forget everything and get away. Why is that the case? I mean, I know we need those things to unplug and so forth. But be very careful. It's kind of like using football or baseball or sports as an avenue of escape. Don't we live in an escapist society? And go to the movie so you can unplug? Go to this? Go to that, you know, do this, do that? Right? Oh, man, I could spend some time here. You know, I think the entertainment society we live in, we've just plugged into the entertainment stuff and we've unplugged from the Lord Jesus Christ. Man, our dependence is not upon some emotional high we may get from some movie. I want to be fixed on the Lord Jesus Christ. Hello? And again, we could spend some more time there. I'm going to rest calmly and firmly. My peace comes from the gospel. My peace, my comfort comes from the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? If you live that way, then you won't live this way. That's what entertainment and all the other things brings you. A life of just big swings in life. Oh, I'm real great today and I'm just terrible tomorrow, right? But boy, if you want to live I guess you'd call it the even keel life. Rest in the Lord. Rest in the confidence we have in the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Again, we think about the calm in the midst of the storm comes from the gospel. You can imagine in Exodus chapter 12, I want you to turn there. Exodus 12, think about the Passover. Exodus 12. Here we have the Passover instituted, fixing to have the death of the firstborn, and Moses reminding the children of Israel, telling the children of Israel what they can do to keep from the firstborn dying in the home. It says in verse 1, the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, and speaking to the congregation, verse 3, of Israel, saying, in the 10th day of this month, they shall take to them every man a lamb according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for an house. And if the household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next unto his house take unto according to the number of the souls. Every man according to his eating shall make you count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. You shall take it out from the sheep and from the goats. And you shall keep it until the 14th day of the same month, 3 days. And the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. And they shall take the blood and strike it on the two door side posts and on the upper door posts of the house wherein they shall eat it. And they shall eat the flesh in that night, roast with fire and unleavened bread, and with bitter herbs they shall eat it. Eat not of it raw, nor sodden at all with water, but roast with fire his head with his legs and with his pertinence thereof. And ye shall let nothing of it remain until the morning. And that which remaineth of it until the morning ye shall burn with fire. And thus shall ye eat it, with your loins girded, your shoes on your feet, and your staff in your hand. And ye shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, and I will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast. And against all the gods of Egypt will I execute judgment. I am the Lord. And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses wherein you are. And when I see the blood, I hope you have this underlined in your Bible. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. Notice in verse 11, it says, and thus shall ye eat it, with your loins girded, your shoes on your feet, and your staff in your hand, and you shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. We think about the preparation of the gospel of peace. You can imagine the wailing and crying as the sacrifices were made. We think about when the Lord passed through and the firstborn died. But we think about the shoes on their feet. Why would they have the shoes on their feet? Why would they have the staff in their hand? Why would the Bible say, why would God tell them to eat hurriedly, eat quick? To be ready. Be ready for what? Be ready for the Exodus. Here we go. It's time. We're leaving. We're going to pass through. We're going to get out of here. Listen, it's about time, folks. Man, we're there. Perilous times shall come. We see that today. We know the last days. We're living in the last days. We need to be ready. We need to have our shoes on, our staff in hand. Be ready. We must, again, spread the good news of the reconciliation between God and man by the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Again, we must think about the second thing is, again, the spreading of the gospel. Preparation suggests promptness or readiness. Again, Exodus 12 says they had their shoes on. They were ready for their journey. We must go into all the world to preach the gospel. We must go. It's not a choice, it's a command. Again, many today are held captive by the enemy. We must go and tell them how they can be what? Delivered. Freed. Amen? Jews were in captivity, and then they were freed. Amen? By the Lord. And today we have many who are in captivity. Free at last, right? Free at last. Listen, they must be freed. And the only way they're going to be freed, and the only way they're going to be delivered, if we spread the gospel, we tell them the Lord Jesus Christ. Again, many Christians today are unshod, not prepared. 1 Peter says we must be ready always to give an answer to every man of the hope that's within us. Are you prepared? Can you lead somebody to the Lord? I remember as a small kid, I can't remember how early in life, but very early in life, we were taught the Romans Road. And even at that, I was taught the Romans Road, and I was taught how to put it in my Bible. And I even have some of my early Bibles. I have one that I used in high school, and I still have it up in my office. And in it is Mark, Romans chapter 3, verse 10. It's underlined. And in Romans 3:10, there's a verse written out beside it, Romans 3:23. I know that's the next place to go. Then there's Romans 5:8 written there. There's Romans 6:23 written at that scripture. Hello? Then at that scripture, you know, Romans chapter 10, 9 through 13. And those scriptures are written there so that I could follow and I would have the opportunity and I could take the gospel and share it with somebody. It's very simple. A track. Something. We must be prepared to give the gospel to those around us. What if your neighbor approached you? Let's say your neighbor approached you and said, "Sir, I see that you go to church every Sunday. I see that you're a religious man. Sir, my son is really, really sick, and they go through and tell you a sad story, and we'd like for you to come pray with my son." Maybe you get that opportunity to pray with the family, and what do you do, though? I mean, you pat them on the back and say, "God bless you," or do you give them hope? Absolutely, you give them hope. How can you give them the hope that's within you if you don't know how to tell them? Amen? We have a soul winning class on Tuesday night. We were, and I know it kind of faded. But if you don't know how to lead somebody to the Lord, you need to learn. Be prepared to give out. Have your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel peace. Be prepared. Preparation. Can you tell somebody about Jesus? You say, "Preacher, I can't do it." Well, Paul used to just give his testimony. But listen, you must include the gospel in your testimony. We need some shoes on. Some people need some new shoes. Be prepared. Be prepared to tell somebody about Jesus. The gospel is the power of God into salvation. Salvation from what? Salvation from the enemy. Salvation from death. Salvation from hell and the lake of fire. Boy, the world needs to be saved. Amen? And we must prepare. We must tell them. We have our marching orders. Can I say tonight that we are called to service? You know, they talk from time to time about reinstituting the draft and all these things. Can I tell you that at salvation you were drafted? Can I say you were drafted, like it or not? Can I say that after you get saved, Jesus is boss? He's Lord. Lord means boss. He's the boss. He gives the orders. Right? But, you know, he's not a boss who would beat us over the head. Aren't you glad of that? Amen. Would you not agree if somebody who know your Old Testament real well that in the Old Testament was a little different? You know, Old Testament, he just whack them. You're not going to obey? All right, I'll just send a drought to your land for 3.5 years. Amen? Until you can wake up, right? But in the New Testament, he's still boss. Now, he wants us to serve because we love him. He says, "If you love me, keep my commandments." Absolutely, we have the attitude is different. The Lord wants us to serve because we want to, not because we have to. But that does not exempt us. And the Bible absolutely makes it clear that when we get to heaven, we will give an account. I believe absolutely there in Jeremiah, where it talks about the watchman and the blood upon the hands. I believe absolutely we'll stand at that great white throne judgment, not for us, but we'll watch them. We'll watch those who are lost and we'll see them thrown into the fire. I believe absolutely at that judgment, there'll be people crying out saying, "Why didn't you tell me? Why didn't you tell me?" I wish I could make it vivid. I mean, I wish we could just make it alive. I wish I, like the old preachers used to say, I wish I could split hell open and everybody look down in there. I mean, it would totally change our soul winning. Absolutely. Hell is real. People are dying and going there. And we are called to service. If you are not laboring in the ministry, then you are not fulfilling your orders. If you simply attend church on Sundays and walk out the back door and never do a thing, then you are disobedient. Hello? You are disobedient to the Savior. You are in disobedience. Amen. When you are prompted, I was just recently in the hospital over in Arlington. I don't remember who I was with. Those things kind of all string together for me. But my wife knows, man, I have an elevator issue, you know? I just do. I get in the elevator with people and I want to say something. You know, just here I got this captive audience and you want to say something. You know, I want to be like some of those guys that talk about, you know, how you can walk into an elevator and like stand against the wall, your nose against the wall, and see the reaction of other people. I want to do something to catch the attention. I had the opportunity of got into an elevator leaving the hospital and just one individual came in. I said, that's always a good opportunity. And I just chit-chatted for, you have like, 5 seconds and chit-chatted, but he kind of stayed with me. We kind of got out of the elevator and we walked to the parking lot and he was parked close to me and I began to ask him, where do you go to church? What do you do? And he began to tell me and I handed him a tract. I said, man, we're just praying for you and man, if we can ever help you, let us know. You know, and just being prepared, having a track in hand. And I told Brother Stone here recently, and I've done just a lot better job, and I want to do even a better job. And I was raised as a kid. As a kid, and especially as an adult, you had a New Testament on you all the time and a track in your pocket, right? Well, we need to be prepared when the Holy Spirit prompts us. If we don't have a track, we at least need to be able to give them a word of encouragement and give them the gospel. Be prepared. Let me again state what I've just said. To simply walk out the back door and never say another thing about the Lord until the next Sunday is disobedience. You say, well, I teach Sunday school. I'm a deacon. I'm a trustee. I'm a this. I'm a that. I'm a this. I'm a that. Don't count. Amen. When you step out those doors. Amen? It don't count for me. I step out the doors. I'm a Christian. I'm a sheep. I have a great shepherd who's told me, hey, this is the way you're going to go. This is the way I'm leading. I'm guiding you this direction. Now do something about it. Tell somebody about Jesus. Tell your neighbor. Maybe some of you tonight have been convicted. Maybe a neighbor has approached you. You've been very hesitant. That power the Lord talks about that He'll give you at the moment that you tell somebody about Jesus. It's amazing. It's amazing people who are timid and would never say a word to anybody that can still hand them a tract and have boldness. Again, it's something you learn. Sow winning's better caught than taught. Now, we can teach you the Romans Road. And we can teach you various scriptures. But the way to become a soul winner is to do it. Just do it. And some of you who have done in the past and maybe been a little more aggressive in the past, we need to re-up. Right? We need to re-enlist, if you would. Say, I'm going to step out the back doors tonight and I'm going to labor in the field. The fields are wide into harvest. We all need to be laborers. Laborers together with the Lord. Right? He's our labor. We labor with Him. 1 Corinthians says, laborers together with God. Let's labor together. And listen, it's not something discouraging. And it's not something negative. It's positive. Have you experienced leading somebody to the Lord? Have you experienced the feeling that you get and just the wonder and amazement of how you feel when you lead somebody to Jesus Christ? Right? Kind of like when you led your kids to the Lord and what that felt like. And then, man, you get to lead a neighbor or somebody sick in the hospital. It's amazing. It will affect you in a way that nothing else can affect you. It'll light a fire under you. It really will. Amen. We are called to service. Preparation of the gospel of peace. Are your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace? Are you prepared to lead somebody to the Lord? And then, are you doing it? Are you laboring? You know, Sunday school teacher, workers, when's the last time you led somebody to the Lord? When's the last time you, at least, again, our job is to lead. It's the Holy Spirit who convicts. It's the Holy Spirit that gives understanding. When's the last time you at least gave a tract or at least gave the gospel to somebody? Amen. We must be reminded that we are called to labor. We are not called to sit. We are called to service. We have our marching orders. Let's march for Jesus. Amen. Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war. Amen. With the cross of Jesus going on before Christ, the royal banner. Oh man, we need to be marching. We need to be telling others about Jesus. Again, soul winning is better caught than taught. You learn by doing. You learn by doing. It's just one of those things. You learn by doing it. Going out with somebody, talking with somebody, telling somebody about Jesus. We must be prepared to go anywhere God sends us to spread the gospel. We must know the gospel. know of the hope that's within you and then how to share that hope with somebody else. I'm glad I have hope in God today. I don't know how I would live without it. Right? I've got a few bumps and bruises in my life that I don't know what I would have done without the Lord. When we lost our two daughters, I don't know what I would do without the Lord through that. I have no idea. I can't even... It puzzles me how others can go through the world, that they can go through this world and go through trials and things like that without the Lord. I have hope. And that hope that we have, that same hope needs to be shared with others. And again, it's not something that we were given a choice about. Our commander, our boss, has said, do this. It's a command. Now let's do it because we want to, right? And let's be about the Father's business. Jesus said, I'm all about doing the Father's business. What is the Father's business? It's spreading the gospel. Send people one to the Lord Jesus Christ. Be ready. Be ready. Are your shoes on? Are your shoes on? Right? Maybe your shoes need to be resoled. They don't do that much anymore, but maybe you need to take it to a boot repair place. Have them resewn. Let's get about the Father's business this week. I challenge you. Hang on. The challenge is here. You have been challenged. Let's spread the gospel this week. Let's tell somebody about Jesus. Let's be about the Father's business. One last thing. I'm looking forward to next year already. We've got our theme picked out for next year. It's going to be exciting. I can't wait. I get in these little pamphlets from other churches and these little, promotion cards. And I have yet to see one. I have yet to see one that says, we are a Christ-centered church. I have yet to see one that says, we are about winning others to Jesus Christ. We are about others doing these things. I think next year we ought to put out one like that. We will come up with a nice way to do it and put it together professionally and so forth. But let's let the community know that Heritage Baptist Church is about winning people to Jesus. And that it's all about Christ. Not about us. It's all about Him. Let's be about the Father's business. Let's all stand.